Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
If you guys are reading along chronologically with us and going through these, if you ever have any questions, would you submit those to us and we could share those during the service, or I can get back to you about that. That would be kind of cool just to go over those things. Last week we finished going through the Pentateuch, or the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible. In those books, we heard about a promise that was made to Abraham, right? It was passed down to Isaac and to Jacob about a land that God was giving them. We know it as, we call it the promised land. Joshua, the book of Joshua, gives an account of the taking back of that land. And today we're moving in what's commonly referred to as the historical books of the Bible. But this is more than just history, right? A history book is not very, I actually like history, so they're interesting to me, but a lot of people don't find history books very, very interesting. But this foreshadows things to come. And I hope you get that, and hope you're picking up it as we go through these things. There's a lot of representation in these books that we're reading. It's a picture of the spiritual life, of our spiritual life, if you understand it. For example, the books that we've gone through, mankind starts off in the promised land. That's where we start off. We start off in the Garden of Eden. Everything is perfect there. There, Adam and Eve are experiencing the fullness of God, but what happens? Sin enters into the world, and they are removed from the promised land. We see Egypt come into play. Egypt represents the world, and the Israelites are brought into Egypt, and they end up in bondage to the world, bondage to sin. But then there's this Moses who comes along and calls them out of that, brings them out of that. Moses foreshadows Jesus Christ, right, and salvation. They're brought to the promised land. They go through the Red Sea. That's actually a picture of baptism. They're then brought to the promised land, and they have a choice. Am I going to trust God and enter into the promises of God, or am I not going to do that? And unfortunately, they don't, right? And so they spend the next 40 years wandering. That is many of us right now. We trust God to save us, but we don't exactly trust Him for the promises to enter into those. And so we spend our time wandering. This is what makes Christianity miserable. If you're unhappy with Christianity or your walk, you're not satisfied with it, you're in the wilderness. And it's all going to come down to, do I trust God? Will I move into those promises? Or am I just going to stay where I'm at? So they don't. They wander for 40 years, but then they come again, once again, to the edge of the promised land. And Joshua is going to bring them into it, into that, into those promises of God. Joshua himself foreshadows Jesus as well. He actually has the same name as Jesus. I don't know if you've known it because we translate it differently. But Joshua and Jesus really come from the same Hebrew name, Yeshua. You've probably heard that before. It means the Lord is salvation. Do you know how he got that name? Moses, right? Numbers 13:16. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. Hoshea means salvation, and Moses changes that to the Lord is salvation, which is the same name that the angel gave to Joseph in calling them to name Jesus, right? Well, let's get into this one account that we're going to be looking at, Joshua 6. Would you stand in honor of God's word? Joshua 6, beginning at verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to the camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord, blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, would you help us to have a posture to receive it? Would you soften our hearts? Would you open our eyes and our ears? Lord, would you speak to us? Would you encourage the person who's been praying for a long time to not give up? Father, we love you and give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Many of you know that I used to upload YouTube videos playing video games. It always amazed me that there were people that would actually watch my videos or our family's videos. If you think about it, when you do that, You're watching somebody pretend to do something. That's what you're doing when you watch those videos. I do it. I watch those videos because these people are really good at playing this game, and I want to learn how to be good like them and do the things that they do too. But there comes a point when you get into your 50s that you realize you're just not any good at video games anymore. You're so bad your kids don't want you to play on the same team that they are if they're playing against other people. So, what do? You continue watching the video games because they're good at it, and you're content to just be okay watching them because you know if you do it, it's not going to be good. You're going to struggle and not do well, so you just watch. And I wonder if that's us in the church. I wonder if this is a picture. Like we hear these testimonies of people. And it sounds great, but then we try it, right? We hear people testifying to tithing, and we try it, and we lose our job, right? Or the big bill comes in, and it just doesn't seem to work out, that whole tithing thing. Or maybe we hear about an amazing story from Adria about forgiveness, right? And so we think, oh, we're going to forgive somebody too, and then we do that, and then they just do it once again to us, right? Or maybe we've been praying for a long time. We hear amazing testimonies about prayer being answered, right? But maybe we've been praying for 6 years and we're struggling with that. Sometimes I think church can become something that you just come to watch, maybe to see what other people are doing. You've tried it, but it didn't work, so why bother, right? That can't be church, though. That can't be what this is about. Today I want to challenge you to take another lap. That's the title of this sermon. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Check this out. You need to persevere. Another translation is you need to have patient endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Apparently, patient endurance and perseverance is key. Things that we need to do, right? Things that we need to continue on in the will of God so that we can receive the promises of God. Unfortunately, that seems to imply that there are a lot of times that we're going to be tempted to give up and quit, right? Maybe give up at lap 6 instead of taking lap 7. Miss out on God's promises. Why do we stop short? That's what I want to talk to you today. Why do we stop short? I think the reason comes between verses 1 and 2. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and nobody came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. Do you catch that? Verse 2, God says, look, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, right? It's done. If you're a person who takes notes, maybe write this down. Notice something that happens here, right? Something about this land and living in this promised land, in the promises of God. God speaks in the past tense about the battle that we are currently fighting. Your battle that you're currently fighting, he's already going to work that out. If you live in the promises, right? If you keep on walking, it's already a done deal, and he's going to tell you that, right? God can do that because his perspective is outside of time. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what he's going to do, the way that he's going to make, right? He has already secured the victory. All we need to do is keep walking. Continue on. So the first reason that we stop short, right, that we quit, is we don't have his perspective. Our perspective is blocked. We can't see what he can. See, Joshua, I've delivered Jericho into your hands. I can imagine Joshua looking over at Jericho and seeing the walls still standing, right? You've delivered it into our hands. Why are the walls still up there, Lord? Do you see the gates? They're still barred, right? That's Joshua's perspective. Verse 1, the gates of Jericho was securely barred. What do you do when what you see looks nothing like the promises of God or what God is telling you? What do you do when the only thing you can see are the walls or the gates, right, the barriers? Look again at this verse, though. Here's what God could see that Joshua couldn't. Why were the gates securely barred? The gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. Nobody went out and nobody came in. The people of Jericho were so scared, right, that they tried to tuck themselves away. Here's what I heard a pastor say, and I think this is good. The intensity of the opposition in your life is proof of the power of God's promise in your life. The intensity of the opposition in your life is the proof of the power of God's promise in your life. You get that? The reason the gates were locked, the reason the walls are high, right, is because the enemy was intimidated. God was already at work in that situation. So we have to realize that we tend to stop short because our view is obstructed. A lot of times all we can see are the walls, the barriers, the mountain, the storm, right? That's what we see in our lives. The bills that come in, the lack of movement when we're praying. Second reason we stop short, right, is our progress is not obvious. Our progress is not obvious. We all know how the story of Jericho ends. I wish we didn't know it now because it would help with this point. The Bible says that God's ways are higher than our ways, right? That they are a lot better, and that's probably the reason why we don't really understand how God does this or why he is orchestrating into this way. His plans seem weird when we're looking at things from an obstructed view. Walk around the city for 7 days, right? Is that anybody's idea of how this should work out well? On the seventh day, walk around it 7 times and then shout, and then the walls are going to come down, right? That's God's plan. That seems unusual to me. It doesn't make sense. And I know, because I know the end of the story, that he's teaching me to trust him. But if I'm God and I'm thinking about this and I don't know how it plays out, I think I would try to encourage Joshua and the Israelites a little bit more, right? I would make it a little easier for them to keep the faith because these people are stiff-necked, aren't they? Just like us. They just spent 40 years wandering in the desert because they couldn't come to the place where they trusted God. So why not make it a little bit easier on them, right? Why not every time they take a lap, maybe some bricks fall out? Why not every time they blow their horn while they're taking those laps, why not let them see some dust pouring out and going up. Why not make it a little bit easier? That's not what happens, though, right? For 6 days, nothing. Nothing moves. No bricks are shaking. No bricks fall. Nothing. There is no sign that anything is happening, right? That's why I hate exercise. I remember the first time I worked out. What do? Right after you work out? You look in the mirror, right? You're looking for those abs to start popping out. You're looking for those gains. You're looking for that weight to be visually less, right? But the weight doesn't do that. If it did happen, all of us would do it, wouldn't we? If we saw the signs right away, we would all be exercising. But it doesn't happen, and we quit because the progress isn't obvious. And on top of that, that first week you're sore, right? But we walk by faith and not by sight. That's what we have to tell ourselves. That we have to remind ourselves. So the question becomes, will you quit or will you take another lap towards the promises of God? Because we know what? It takes perseverance. That's what Hebrews tells us. It takes patient endurance to receive what he has promised. That's the question of faith. Will we walk or will we quit? Why do you quit praying? Because we don't see things changing. I've been praying every single day, but not one brick has fallen out of that wall, right? It's a matter of faith. Can you trust that God is moving? Can you trust that God is seeing, even when your view is obstructed, right? Even when the progress, you don't see anything happening. We keep having the prayer group, right? If only three people show up. We keep preaching if people don't come out to it. God, if you could just let me see one brick fall. Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, just give me something, right? But the first day goes and nothing. Second day, nothing. Third day, nothing. Fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, nothing. What do you do in those situations? You take another lap. You keep going, right? By faith. You remember that verse. You remember you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Know this, it's in the walking, it's in the wondering, it's in the weakness where our faith is developed. That's where it's built, right? Everything gets stripped away in that season of walking. Because we try to put our faith in everything else. And it has to fail so it can be stripped away until nothing remains except for our faith in God, our trust in him. This is what happens during the walking time. I don't know if you noticed this about the soldiers in here. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know verses 2 to 4. God tells Joshua, hey, this is what's going to happen, how the walls are going to come down. Walk around it for 6 days. On the seventh, walk around it seven times. Blow the trumpet, shout, the walls are going to come down. Joshua knew that, but the soldiers didn't. What did they hear? Verses 6 to 7, so Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests, said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have the seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance. March around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. That's what the soldiers knew. That's all they knew. All they got was march. They didn't get anything about the walls falling down. They didn't get anything about how long it was going to take for this thing to happen, right? Here's the third reason we quit. The process is often open-ended for us. We don't know how long it's going to take. And that can be really frustrating. Put yourself in their shoes. Go, boys, march, right? Hit it. Okay, they're excited. We're taking Jericho today. What do? They go out, they spend an hour marching around the city once, and then they come home to their camp. If their wives were at the camp, which they probably weren't, their wives would have probably asked them, though, how'd it go today? You know, what happened? Tell me about it. Well, we just marched around the city today. I think Joshua is just maybe getting us warmed up. You were getting a lay of the land. You know, we're just getting stressed out, and I'm sure tomorrow we're going to go in and take it. But day two comes. And day two ends up just like day one. We marched around the city for an hour, and then we came back. And I'm sure the wives were there, if they were, saying, how'd it go? interesting, right? That's the code word that we use when things are interesting. Went just like yesterday. Could you imagine doing that for 6 days? I mean, it's not a long period of time for us, but can you imagine them? Like, they don't know the seventh day is coming. They don't know what's going to happen, right? Keep in mind, this is Joshua's first military command. Does this guy even know what he's doing? Right? I know that they were thinking that because this is, I don't want to say a stupid thing to do. It's a thing that doesn't make sense to us in our limited capacity, right? I know Moses wouldn't have done this. You know they're saying that. You know they're thinking that. Moses would have had this in that city already, right? We don't mind walking as long as we can see where we're going and how long it's going to take, right? We can even suffer as long as we know the end is in sight, the end is near. We just need to have some kind of sign that it's working, that something's happening, that bricks are falling, right? And we get frustrated when the process is open and we tend to just end up quitting. Lord, I need to know at least why this is happening to me, right? Have you ever prayed that? Tell me how long it's going to take. I don't mind walking, Lord, but can you just show me where we're going and how far I have to go? That's what we want. And oftentimes, we hear nothing, right? In other words, just keep going. I don't know why this happened in my life, but I went through a phase. A few of you might have gone through a similar phase. It's called a NASCAR phase. People drive around a track, an oval track. Most times an oval track. There's one track that's a little different. I don't know, for some reason. But they'll drive around that track 300 times, right? There would always seem to be a note while you're watching that on the screen, though, of laps left. 150 laps left, right? Don't you wish you had that from God with whatever that thing is going on? 150 more prayers, right? 100 laps left. The exciting part was when the laps got close to the end, right? When one lap was left, they would wave this white flag, and then it was all out, right? We're going for it. We're going to do whatever we can to get to that. It was just nuts. The drivers knew this, right? Let it all go. And I think it would be great if we just knew that. If we just had that lap counter to the finish line. I'm getting closer to that destination. I can keep going because the finish line is in sight, right? But it's not. It's open-ended, and we tend to give up. Wouldn't it be awesome to see the white flag come out? One lap to go. Would anybody quit if there was only one lap to go? Would anybody? Nobody would. I got one more month until this thing happens, right? I just have to stand it for one more day. Imagine that prayer counter getting down to one. Here's the truth in life. Life doesn't give you a counter. It doesn't. Doesn't wave a white flag for you. The process is open-ended. We might be on the last lap, and that might be the lap that we quit and not even realize it. We could be one more time throwing that cigarette away, and we don't. And we stay in bondage to that thing, right? We could have quit 6 times, but it was on the 7th that we would have seen the walls come down. What do you do? How do you respond? Here's what we need to know about walking the laps. The goal of the laps is to get us to a place where we quit looking for the white flag, and instead we wave the white flag. Quit looking for the ending. Quit looking for the flag to be waved. And instead, wave it yourself. God, I can't do this anymore. I've tried everything, right? I got nothing. I got no strength. I'm broken. I'm spent. I'm all out of everything. I realize I cannot do it. And I realize I'm 100% dependent on you. I'm desperate for you to move, for you to make a way, right? I think that's the purpose of the laps, to get us to that point. That's why they're so hard. That's why we quit so often, because they're meant to strip everything else away, to bring us to a place of surrender, of trust. I think that's the place where God says, good, you're finally ready, right? You're ready because you finally look to me, put your faith in me, trust me, instead of trusting in your strength and your ability, right? That's a hard lesson for us as Americans, because we're taught, make your way. Figure it out. Push hard enough. Do whatever it takes, but you got to get there. And the way of the cross, the way of Christianity, is surrender. Surrender and put your faith and your trust in him. It's here that you realize good walking and good shouts don't bring the walls down. And that's the place where he wants to get you, where you'll put your faith and trust in him. That's when we're finally ready to go in to the promises, right? I don't know how long you've been walking. I don't know what you're walking around. But I just want to encourage you. Take another lap. And another lap. And another lap. I want to encourage you to pray for 2.5 years for your daughter. Right? Don't stop. Don't stop. Joshua 6:15. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak, marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you this city. Verse 20, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Wouldn't it be a shame to quit on 6? Wouldn't it be a shame to quit halfway through 7? Can you imagine stopping? That's some of us. We stopped. God called us to something. God called us to step out on faith. God called us to trust him. We started that process, but then something happened and we quit. Can I challenge you to start walking again? Whatever that means for you, to step out on faith again and to trust him with it. Maybe you are taking laps, right? Maybe you're still addicted. Maybe you're still picking up that thing. You hear God set people free. You hear that, but the walls are still up. What do? You keep walking, right? And if you fall towards the cross, and you get right back up, and you walk again. That's where he experiences the promises of God. And I guarantee, if you do that, one day, the walls will come down. Amen? Stand with me. The battle's already done. The battle has already been won. We just can't see it where we're at sometimes. All we see are the walls. But we are a people who continue walking in faith, in trust. And if we do, one day those walls will come down. One day. Hebrews 10:36, right? You need to persevere. You need to have patient endurance. You need to keep going in the will of God so that you can experience the promises of God, right? You know what helps? Having people that walk with you. It's boring walking alone, right? View can be great. but it helps to have somebody with you. Grab them. Grab them. They need you. You need them, right? Just don't stop. Take another lap. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength to endure. I pray that we would trust your promises, what your word says, no matter what we see before us. Help us to keep going, Lord. Help us to invite people to come along with us. Help us to share our testimonies of the time that we were walking and we didn't see that thing, but then one day those walls came down. Help that to be an encouragement to somebody else who's walking around that same thing. Father, just go with us and be the source of our strength and everything else, Lord. Father, we ask this in your mighty name, we pray. Amen.